Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our study through the book of 1 Corinthians as we continue through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
We're going to be our study being verse number 14. But let's back up two verses to kind of get the context what we got here. Let's begin reading in verse number 12. Verse number 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he falls. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. We talked about this last week. In other words, when you're going through something, you're not alone. God is with you, but also other people have gone through the same things. And the same, whether it's loss of a spouse or a physical thing or money, whatever it may be. Other people have been faced with these same temptations, these same trials or whatever you're going through. And I told you last week, I underlined this three times in my notes. The next four words, but God is faithful. But God is faithful no matter what you're going through. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Remember I mentioned last week, temptation is not a sin, because Jesus was tempted three times. So temptation itself is not the sin. It's when you give in to the temptation. That's when it becomes a problem. And so then we get to verse number 14 and throws that word wherefore. Another, that word wherefore is like that word therefore. It's there for a purpose. It's that for this reason, what he just stated. Wherefore, for this reason, my dearly beloved, and I love that. Remember, all during this letter that Paul's writing to these carnal believers. Remember, we read earlier in chapter number 3, he says, but you're yet carnal. You're fussing at each other. There's fightings and factions and schisms, and they had some real problems, you know. But he still used that, my dearly beloved. They were still brothers and sisters in Christ, and they endeared their hearts to Paul and Paul to them. Remember, he was in Corinth 18 months. Teaching Ephesus, he was there 3 years. So he didn't stay in places too long, except for these two places, Corinth 18 months, Ephesus 3 years. The rest of the time he's chased from city to city from Jews and other people. But of course, I just love that phrase, my dearly beloved, reminding them that he cared about them and he was admonishing them in love. Very important. He was trying to help them and not hurt them. The old adage, kill them with kindness. And then I wrote this in my notes. You've heard this before. You can catch more bees with honey than you can with vinegar. Talks about how we talk to people and our speech, how we address people, how we even maybe have to correct them, but you do it in a manner of love. And that's the attitude that Paul has right here, my dearly beloved. Kindness and gentleness are more effective than harshness or negativity. We can learn from that, every one of us. Let me repeat that because some of y'all are hard-headed, okay? Want it to sink in. And that wasn't very nice. You hear him talking about gentleness. Kindness and gentleness are more effective than harshness or negativity. So when we're talking to someone, you know, do it in kindness, gentleness, and in love. And that's why Paul inserted that. Matter of fact, earlier in the past few chapters, he used that same phrase, my dearly beloved, just kind of reminding them how much he loved. Let's go a little farther. Let me read the rest of this chapter, verses, and then we'll get back to it in context here. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, but we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That an altar is that an idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Okay, let's get back to what Paul is referring to here. Back in chapter number 8 and chapter 9, remember the whole idea was, Paul, what about this meat that's offered to idols in the temple? Do we eat it? Do we not eat it? Remember, that's the whole context. So he's getting back to that thought again about things that are offered to the idols. You had the weaker brother and the stronger brother, remember that? And he said, I'm not going to cause my weaker brother to stumble, to offend him. So that's the subject matter here again about the idols and the meats and the sacrifices offered to the idols. So in verse number 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Question, who is he speaking to when he says flee from idolatry? He's not he is, but he's also not speaking to unbelievers. He's speaking to believers. These are people who know Christ as their Savior. Isn't it interesting? He says, flee from idolatry. And we mentioned this last week when he talked about idolatry. When we think of idolatry, what do we think about? Oh, we think of these totem poles, you know, the Indians, or the little fat Buddha, you know, with a little fat stomach, you know, and idols that they have spirit houses and time. That's what our mind goes to. But idolatry is anything that you put between you and God, including yourself. And I think that's our biggest idol is me. Most of the time we worship ourselves more than anything else. Amen, preacher. We do. We look at ourselves and we tend to worship ourselves. And so when when he talks about idolatry, don't just think, well, I don't worship a statue or this or that. No, it's anything that is between you and God, including even yourself. It's interesting. And verse number 7, Paul admonished them, neither be idolaters. Now here he returns to the subject by saying, flee from idolatry. Flee, I love this, means to get away from it. Take flight, head the other way, just as fast as you can. The literal example of this fleeing is Joseph fleeing from Potiphar's for his wife. I mentioned this last week when we were in verse number 7, remember? Where Potiphar's wife had made advances toward Joseph, and Joseph kept refusing, no, no, no. And then one day she came and grabbed him by his coat. She says, come with me, big boy. And he took off. I put in my notes, out the back door. I don't know where he went, you know, front door, back door. But the thought is, he ran out the house as fast as he could. She's left holding his jacket. And she starts screaming, I've been attacked. But the idea is he fled from that. And that's that same thought. Get away from it just as fast as you can. Get out. And then verse number 15. I speak as to wise men. The phrase wise men is interesting. He's literally saying you're not stupid. He's not trying to be sarcastic here and saying, well, you're unintelligent. No, because they were. Matter of fact, they prided themselves as being intellectuals. They're in the city of Corinth, and very intelligent people. And he says, I'm not speaking to, pardon the English, you know, I was born in Kissimmee, I raised in Polk County. In redneck term, I'm not talking to a bunch of stupid people here.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.